today on Real Radio.
For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome is your God. That's the God we serve. That word mighty is to be, listen, it's to be valiant. It's to be a champion. It's to be a chief warrior. That's what it means. Almighty God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. As always, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sin and return to Him so that He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 9, we learned that the New Testament gospel writers quoted from Isaiah more than any other Old Testament prophet. They knew the Messiah spoken of in Isaiah was the same Jesus they knew when He walked with them here on earth. We also discovered that as it was in both Isaiah's time and Jesus' time, Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, was considered to be cursed and unclean. But when Jesus returns, He'll be sitting on the throne of David, and His government will rule and reign forever. Now in part 2, we'll continue to see how Isaiah provides a clear window into how God became flesh for our benefit. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that even though God is love, He is also mighty and powerful. When Jesus returns, He will right all wrongs, and all things will be made perfect as He is perfect. Jesus is the governor of time, and today is the day to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And now, continuing his lesson called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Why don't you take a peek at who the Bible says Jesus is? Just give it a shot. Who's the prophet speaking of? Well, verse 6 continues with our fourth argument here. His desire is to lead us into, mark the word, perfection. Let me explain that. Don't get nervous. Perfection. What does that mean? His desire is to lead us into perfection, meaning completion. That's what it means. His desire, now watch this. His desire, that's why the Holy Spirit lives inside the believer, to mature us in Christ, okay? So how does this happen? Well, number one, look at this. Here's a title, name. Scholars argue, look, there's the camp's divided into two places. And to be honest with you, I don't care which camp you pick, it's both awesome. Both of them are awesome. Some scholars say His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's one thing. Then there's great scholars on the other side of the fence that say, no, both the words are nouns in the original, and it's wonderful and counselor, separate. And they argue back and forth. And you read both arguments and you throw your hands up and say, who cares? Because they're both awesome. They're both wonderful. Well, here it is. And His name will be called Wonderful. So whoever He is, we know that it's Jesus. But the word wonderful here means secret, hidden, or secluded. It doesn't mean secret like you can't have it. It means secluded, that you got to find it. Okay? Number two, counselor, the guide, the director, the instructor. What does this mean? His name will be called Wonderful, secluded, secret, but able to be found, and He will be your guide, your counselor, your instructor. I love this. I love this. I love this for this reason. Because I believe personally, and I tried to share this a couple weeks ago, and it didn't go over well. I got passionate and emotional on the Sunday service, and you couldn't handle that. I got notes and letters. But here's the deal about this. This is, to me, wonderful. When you get alone with God, He tells you things that he ain't gonna tell you unless you get alone with God. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm here at church, aren't I? That's great for you, and this is what we're all supposed to do anyway. This is called a convocation. Did you know that? This is a normal biblical gathering called a convocation. It's when God's people gather in mass, in a big group. Every week since the last 2,000 years, this is what happens. Okay? This is different. This is God saying to his people, you go get alone with me in a secluded place and I will counsel you. You like that? I like that. It's a place where others don't go. It's not here. Well, I went to church. That's not what we're talking about. It's not here. You will be counseled by him personally when you get secluded with him. Meaning, you need to nurture more and more real, true alone time with God. You need to do, as John was telling us earlier a moment ago, to press on further into Christ. To get alone. This is what I tried to say a couple weeks ago, and it didn't go over well. When I said, put down the books, turn off the TV, even put down your Bible, get alone with God. Some knucklehead said, hey, to his wife, I don't have to read the Bible anymore. Pastor Jack said so. You'd be amazed what people hear. But you know, that's what he wanted to hear, apparently. You know, that's what his, anyway. You can read the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But unless you zip your lip and close your eyes and listen for a while, you're not going to hear anything. And it's time to start hearing from him. Pastor, I need direction. Then go ask him. Are you hearing me? Pastor, I don't know what to do. Wait. Doesn't the Bible say there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors? Yes, of course, but the Bible also says to seek him first. That's why when you see new believers come up here, have you ever heard me tell them, if you have a question now that you're a Christian, read your Bible. And if you have a question, write that question down on a piece of paper and don't call us with your question. Don't call us. Ask God to answer your question in your daily Bible reading. And then after 2 weeks, if you're not sure, then call us. Is he not God? Can he not speak? Oh, he speaks. You know what our problem is? We don't listen. We don't listen. We've got to nurture listening. When we make mistakes, note it. It's us making the mistakes. But you know what Christianese says? Well, I prayed about it. I don't know why the whole thing flopped and blew up and fell out of the window. I don't know what the Lord's doing. Don't blame it on him. Listen, when we pseudo pray about something and it blows up and it's a disaster, it's probably us answering our own prayer. Lord, if you want me to go to Vegas with this $100 bill I found, cause the sun to come up tomorrow at about 5 a.m. Oh, look, that must be the Lord. You know what I'm saying? People make fun of Gideon. Oh, he had no faith. He had God make it wet and then make it dry. He made the skin of the animal wet, then dry. God, if you're in this, make it dry. Two nights dry, two wet, wet, dry, wet, 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 dry. He's going back and forth and people say, oh, he didn't have enough faith. I disagree. I think the guy didn't want to mess up. And he's asking God, I just want to be sure. Listen, we need to be sure. He's the wonderful counselor. And I'll compromise between the great scholars. I want to put myself right in the middle. And I want to grab the word wonderful. And I want to grab the word counselor. And I want to pull it together. And I want to be like a hot dog and a bun. Wonderful counselor. The theologians can argue about it. I'm just going to go get alone with God and get the answer and be on my way. We need to do this more and more. More and more. The next thing, number five, we still see in verse 6 is that our God is mighty in his deeds. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 9:6 that he's the mighty God. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, the one, the baby that's coming, the child, the son, is mighty God. Mighty God. Is it just me, or is this crystal clear? Because I have people knocking on my door saying, it's not almighty God, it's just mighty God. The exact same meaning applies. Did you know that? Same. The mighty God is the almighty God. Very simple. By the way, Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome is your God. That's the God we serve. That word mighty is to be, listen, it's to be valiant. It's to be a champion. It's to be a chief warrior. That's what it means. Almighty God. I want to see God personally be mighty in our day. We need God, ladies and gentlemen, church family, friends. We need God to be mighty right now in America. We need God to be mighty in the earth. We need to see, you know, I know, and I submit to God completely. I know he's doing exactly what he wants to do in Syria right now and in Iraq. And with all that persecution, God is watching this, ladies and gentlemen. And you might, and I understand the emotion, you might say, well, then where is he? Oh, he's there. He's there. He's there, and he will right it in his time. He is the Almighty. But I have to confess, I'm asking the Lord, show us, Lord. And there's a little bit of fear when I ask that, because he says, I will come. The word says, I will come and I will shake the earth once again. He's the Almighty God. The Bible says here, as we track this, it is undeniable that Jesus Christ is in fact that Almighty One. Sixth argument, his authority controls time and eternity. The Bible says in verse 6 that whoever's coming, that baby to be born, that one that is going to be sent, is the everlasting Father. That's unfortunate in the English. The word is Father of time, Father of eternity, of time and eternity. The word means of physical time and this time now. Physical time, by the way, has limitations, and eternity. Skeptics, friends, doubters, listen, the Jesus of the Bible is being spoken about here in Isaiah, and he's the governor of time. Amen. That's awesome. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. He controls time. Number 7, our God is the peace the world needs. What's the answer right now tonight for the world? Jesus Christ is the answer. It's Jesus. We need to be telling people more than ever. You know that. You hear that all the time. But the world wants peace. They don't know how to get it. But we have that message. Number 8. Verse 7 tells us that his reign will last forever. I don't need to talk about that. We're discussing that currently on Sunday mornings. The fact is, the child, the son, whoever he is, he's going to reign forever. It says of the increase of his government and peace, there's going to be no end. That's what the Bible claims. It's awesome. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 and 16, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. He's speaking about King David. And who will come from your body, DNA, and I will establish his kingdom, and your house and your kingdom, verse 16 says, shall be established forever before you. Your thrones shall be established forever. That's what God said to David. That's radical. That's crazy. That's crazy if you remove Jesus from the factor. Number 9, our God will bring a perfect government when he comes. It says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, he will be. Have you ever prayed, my friend? Listen, you know the answer to this already. And when you pray, and the Lord gives us that pattern, it's a pattern, it's a structure. It was never given with the intention to repeat it. Did you know that? It was a prayer given for a structure. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Did you know when you pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, you know you're actually asking him to return when you pray that prayer? That's what it means. Thy kingdom come. Oh, it's coming. He will set it up. Number 10, we end here. His rule will be of him, by him, and it's for us. Is that amazing? It's for us. For who's us? Who is us? All, any who will believe. Listen, church. In heaven, I'm happy to announce, especially with the way the world's going today, in heaven, there will be no Gentile section and Jewish section for believers. Did you know that? There's not going to be a team over here with blue pom-poms going nuts. These guys are not going to be running over here with swirling things and ribbons going, nope. There's not going to be a white section in heaven or a black section in heaven. There's not going to be a red section or a yellow section in heaven. Nope. How cool is that? There is going to be the Jesus section. Okay, the Jesus section. Have you put your faith in the one and only one of the Bible? Tonight, I'm going to ask you to make that decision. If you've never done it, it's your business if you choose Christ or not. But listen, the Bible's clear. You must choose him. And with that opportunity, you need to know something. You're not being asked to join this church because we have no membership. Number two, making the decision. Listen, making the decision, though God saves you in an instant, this is where your journey begins. This is where, for the first time for somebody, maybe tonight, if you say yes to Christ, you'll sense him speaking to you in some fashion. It'd be unusual for you. The decision you make tonight to follow him is just the beginning. Don't think that it's the beginning and the end and that's it. Your life is about, if you choose Christ tonight, to dramatically change. Listen, dramatically change ever so gently and consistently, day in, day out. I'm not going to play games tonight. If that's you tonight, if you want to make a decision, when I give you the opportunity, just slip your hand up wherever you're at and I'll look. I'm not going to plead with you. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to say if you're wearing a red shirt, raise your hand. Or if you're, no, you know if God's speaking to you tonight. Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. Wow, after looking at Isaiah, it makes total sense to me. Jesus said that if you deny me before men, I must deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. He says, if you acknowledge me before men, then I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Let's bow our heads right now in prayer. Father, as we right now end this service, as we conclude this time together, I ask you, Lord, that there would be no disruptions, no interruptions. And Lord, that in the realm of both the spirit and the physical, you'd begin to stir and move in the heart. If that's happening here tonight at all, it's your business. It's between the person and you, I recognize. But I give opportunity, Lord, to have you speak. So my friend, tonight, as I interrupt my prayer and you remain in an attitude of prayer, would you raise your hand tonight? And by doing that, you'd be saying, I am tonight accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe what I heard tonight from the Old Testament prophet, that he is the child who was born. He's the son that was given. And I put my life, my sin, my hope, my body, my heart, my very existence into his hand. I want to start that journey with Jesus tonight. If that's you, will you put your hand up wherever you're at? Just slip your hand up. God bless you. Anyone else in the back? God bless you on the aisle. Raise it high. It's hard for me to see. In the very back, several of you. Off to the right. God bless you in the back aisle. Up front, in the middle, here to my right. God bless you. Anyone else? You think you should be raising your hand? You kind of feel like, man, I need to make this decision. Listen, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. If you've not yet raised your hand, but you sense him speaking and that's your decision tonight, he's inviting you tonight. Maybe for some of you tonight, you've heard the voice, but you've never responded. I highly encourage you. If he's talking to you, do not put him off. He is Almighty God. If you've not yet raised your hand and you want your hand up, raise it now. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yes, yes. Excellent. Yes. Yes, in the back. Let's put your hands down. Church, let's all stand together reverently in prayer. Listen, those of you who raised your hands, church, you want to do it? Want to pray it along with them? Because it's awesome. I don't know why. It doesn't, I mean, you don't have to do it once, but it sounds cool. Those of you who raised your hands, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. It's not magic, but if you mean it, God will receive it from your heart. This is not religion. This is you right now meeting Jesus. And your brand new brothers and sisters, we will pray that with you. Are you ready? Dear Lord, I give you my life tonight. I ask you to transform me now from the inside out as I confess Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross for me and rose again from the grave. And I give you now my life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2. I'm David J. Thanks for joining us today. And our continuing hope is that you will give your life to Jesus Christ, not sometime soon, but right away. And you'll spend eternity with him. His Son, Our God, Your Savior, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you've recently given your heart to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've rededicated your life to the Lord, or you just really need to understand just what it means to be saved, we've got some information that we'd love to pass along to you. It's the Know God tab at our website. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. And you can find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or you can access the information through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. That tab called Know God at our website will give you insight into how much God loves you and that none of us are here by accident. But the truth is our sin has separated us from God, and sin simply means our failure to measure up to God's holiness and standards. That's why God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, providing a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. That Know God tab also tells you exactly what your commitment of faith involves and provides a way to receive more information to help you grow spiritually. All you got to do is give us your email address and we'll get that out to you. Again, it's called the Know God tab, and you'll find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, be sure to download our Real Life mobile app and access the Know God tab right there through your mobile device. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.